The next talk is about an endeavor, that is, of the surveillance blockbuster. It was sold as a surveillance blockbuster, as a thing that can do everything. And there is a German phrase that she's using to explain that. It's to be looked at with care. It's got to be careful. It's part of a group of people who is... there is activism about it, but seemingly it looks like this project is not going to be as successful as it thought. Okay, I can see you all know what this is about. In the last years, there were so many protests on the streets. There were statements being written. Collaborations tried, and there were researchers bringing up really dramatic and bad developments. And then it turned out that now it's not as realistic anymore as a project. And the people who found that out, there are a lot of them who found that out for us, and some of them we can greet today on the stage. Please give a warm welcome to Khaleesi, who is one of the speakers of the CCC about chat control, and she has been with this project in the last years for quite a while. Just as Professor Dr. Patrick Breyer, who is looking out for us on the parliamentary level, and is the face for chat control. Ah, he's not a professor, I think. And then there is Professor Dr. Ulrich Kelber, who is the assigned person for data protection and chat control. Maybe we should have brought out a disclaimer. This moderation can spoil things, and I am here today with this guy, with this old friend.
And we want to look at what happened the last 3 years. So when we prepared the talk, we noticed that the chat control and the history of it, because it has all the key components of a classical drama. And that's why we show you a little play, a little theater play. And we start with the first act and the boring things. The exposition informs about the scene, the time, and the situation. It characterizes the central figures, the interests and relationships, and presents the prior events. There will be potentially a presentation of future events. And this is something we take very seriously. And with this prior history, we want to tell a story in which I personally was not really involved. And therefore, I would like to refer to the all-knowing narrator, Patrick Breyer. Thank you very much. Chat Control 1.0. Has had a long history behind it. Yes, it started in 2018. The EU has decided that the secrecy, the e-privacy directive could be, you know, derogated to also, yeah, attack messenger services. And then the first governments, especially Great Britain, have requested a derogation of the e-privacy directive. And After I have fought for many years against data retention, then when it is about scan systematically the content of messages in messages, then this is really a new type of surveillance. And then privacy is fundamentally as in itself endangered. And the things that we save on our computers, on our smartphones, this is all endangered. And now the idea is that you have an AI that is installed in every bedroom, and this is really about the core area of privacy. And this is something that we only know from China, that messages are systematically scanned. And I heard, well, and people also censor images of Pooh the bear because this is supposed to be a reference to Xi Jinping. And there was a lot of protest against the digital service, and then the EU Commission suddenly proposed that this derogation should be included in the current current regulation. It has previously talked to the internet giants Google and Facebook because they have actually introduced the chat control for their own services. So they scanned private messages, direct messages in their systems, and this was actually not legal at that time in the European Union. And in the United States, there is a requirement to report such findings, but it's actually not required to scan, and there is no fundamental data data privacy law in the United States, like in the EU, and to explain what this actually means and what it actually means for the people who are affected, who are suspected. This is something that we could not really explain to the policymakers. Here we see how the voting turned out when the European Parliament voted to allow the voluntary chat control. And we see that everyone, with just two exceptions, to vote for this chat control law, and we couldn't really explain to people what kind of consequences chat control has. And our position was to say that we completely reject chat control. We have started a campaign, and it was not successful. And I will explain how this went on. This is just shortly after this vote, we have my first tweet that used the word chat control, and this way we established a name for this type of law. We tried different names, and in the end, my team came up with the idea chat control, and it fitted the law pretty well. And we have done a lot of legal assessments, and we knew that this law would shift from voluntary to mandatory. And because there were some documents that actually explained that this is a strategy, and the Five Eyes have also publicly stated that they want this voluntary chat control, and the agenda is clear because they have a very big interest in bypassing secure end-to-end encryption, and by using child abuse as a segue to to legalize the scanning, then this is not surprising. And it shows that the Five Eyes are very, so that that Chat Control is actually a product of the surveillance complex. And in the parliament, we had in July 2000 another vote. We managed to get the FDP, the AfD, and also Martin Sonneborn on our side, so that they no longer voted in favor of Chat Control. But the overall voting was still, unfortunately, quite in favor of Chat Control. And we and even people who were in the Pegasus investigation committee voted in favor of Chat Control, which is very frustrating.
And what's also interesting is that we won back Moritz Körner, who was a real proponent of this. And Patrick was at Logbuch Netzpolitik, and I listened to all of this, and I had nothing to do with it. But then Markus Reuter said, okay, we need to do something about this. And after this, I said, I think a large part of the population doesn't know what this is all about, and we need to do something about something like Claim Your Faces. And from that, there grew much more. I pretty quickly had Kantorkel on the phone and said, and he said, well, you can do this. And 3 days later, I sat with Edri and other representatives in a video conference. And some people saw our banner, Stop Chat Control. And a big thank you to Konstantin from Stop Chat Control and the people from and the people who always struggled with us. And now you got to know the good guys. But we all know, if Chat Control was a person, it would rather be this one. And it's actually not far off, because the persons involved, one of them really likes to wear pink as well. Some people might know who I'm talking about. Our favorite commissioner, Ylva Johansson. Unfortunately, I didn't find any better pink top of hers. She was the one who was in support of this proposal. Also, you know, everyone knows her, Nancy Faeser, and someone who made lots of advertisements for this, Eva Kaili. And in the role of his life, we cannot forget Ashton Kutcher. And Ursula von der Leyen was also allowed to play along. And the Commission more often actually met with Ashton Kutcher. And if you notice, she actually never. That's all the persons you need to know to understand this proposal. But there are even more persons. But the organizations that are really important are those two.
So the inner ministry. So there's a like-minded group, which means that there are 10 governments who gave statements that were really similar, because all of them thought that, these things were, the suggestion was a good idea.
Also, es sind halt Schweden war ursprünglich auch für die Chatkontrolle 2.0, also verpflichtende Chatkontrolle. Und trotz Regierungswechsel zu einer konservativen trotz einer konservativen Regierung hat sich daran leider nichts geändert. Aber mittlerweile sind sie Kritiker geworden, weil es eine erfolgreiche Kampagne in Schweden gab. Und deswegen haben wir jetzt auch ein paar zusätzliche Sätze zum Schutz von Verschlüsselung, die aber leider zwischendurch wieder kassiert wurden. So Spain said that end-to-end encryption should be completely abolished, forbidden, and they tried to enforce this with several attempts to vote on this issue, but they all failed, fortunately. And they tried to find a compromise. Okay, we take a part of our claims out, and we only vote only on certain parts. They tried a couple of tricks, and then they tried to move it to a different level where an abstained vote does not count as a no, but all of that didn't help. So what the thing that the Spaniards have left us is a text that is even more extreme than what Ylva Johansson has originally proposed. They have introduced censorship of search engines, which is not more extreme than so. And I want to interject that the council is one of the three columns of the legislative process. The commission is actually forced to do consultations. So in this case, with the privacy commissioner, departments have to be asked. But what happens in the council is not so much a European issue. It's more about the individual states. And then when a national government is interacting with the for example, the Germans say we are abstaining the vote, then this is like an approval in the system. So if the commission says you have to vote with no to achieve a qualified majority, and that's why it is important to have this third column in their role. It would be wise to enforce that they are also required to ask for consultations. And
so the EU Commission, so the idea is a trilogue. The Commission is here and is supposed to be neutral and bridging, but they already talked to the governments. So the data guys are talking to the Commission. And how these things are interconnected, we're going to talk about next year. But let's go back to our story. And Patrick and Ulrich said it just a minute ago. It's pretty dark what's happening there in this council. And now we're going back to this story. And we're going back to these people. A big applause to Netzpolitik.org because they did this for us. You can see it. Thank you for your leaks. Without you guys, we wouldn't have been able to puzzle this together as we did now. And please donate to them because they're doing great work. So this is the state of the status today. We did have a civil societal collaboration. We didn't have a text then, and now we have it. And I know you've heard this before, but we're going to do a little recap on what this law was about. Chat control means all messages, may it be email or messages or messengers or per chat services, they have to be, if there is a certain risk that this service might have some child abuse on it or any other thing going on, and you can never really say that, have to be, never really say that that doesn't happen. They have to be scanned, and they have to be scanned for known materials, which is referring to data banks that are not certified for, you know, basically human rights. And the descriptions are never good enough, elaborate enough to say whether there is sexting going on, whether the age is appropriate or not. It doesn't work. But it's supposed to look for keywords in those messages to find out whether there are some adults trying to get some sexual relations going on with children. And it's completely experimental. Many of the providers and the said that they would research it, and the Commission basically just copied it. And they just copied the statements of the providers without kind of checking on them. So what's important? They don't stop with end-to-end encryption. And to do that, you have to undo the end-to-end encryption. And that is obviously a problem.
And what's also in there is, of course, age verification. So the proposal is that people who potentially have some risk involved, so basically everyone, has to upload either an ID or show their face, which would be AI-based and is not compatible with anonymous communications. So that's why this age verification, so if you want to register an email account, for you have to verify your age. This would be a threat to anonymous communications in general. Like, what whistleblower would accept showing their face or uploading their ID if they want to communicate anonymously? So also, if they're not successful at deleting CISA material, it's supposed to be blocked. And also, digital
house arrest.
And also, teens are supposed to be prohibited from downloading apps from app stores which have some risk of grooming, which can be anything like messaging, WhatsApp, games, any kinds of messaging, dating apps, any kinds of app that can be used for this will be used for this, which means that the youth will be put under general house arrest, which is one aspect of chat control which has not been shed enough public light on yet, which of course also doesn't work. Talking about technology, how does this usually look when we do end-to-end encryption? Normally it looks like this. I can be pretty sure about my latest rant about EU law can be transferred to Patrick anonymously and end-to-end encrypted. But what Ashton Kutcher and his friends actually want is the following. We have a chat message. And what Patrick just said about chat control 1.0, It's previously examined by a provider, and when the detectors somehow trigger, it is being transferred to the agencies. Or to, the problem with this is I can only look at a message that's end-to-end encrypted before it is being encrypted, which means that beforehand I break this encryption, which defeats the purpose of secret communication, to private communication. But Nancy Faeser said they scanned.
So she said, to scan every private message without a reason for suspicion is in line with our legal freedoms. And the first instance that has actually put the hand up was our privacy commissioner, who said that this was not okay. And we actually knew that this was coming. We had very open ears. So we know that there's the Five Eyes and the European Commission, and it's typically very difficult to find a common ground. Many greetings to the referent who has sent me the data. And we have received a text that has shown the broadness of the legal situation. And of course, there's also other institutions like judges that have to pointed towards what this actually means, and what does it mean if the error rate is a certain level? What does it mean for adolescents when they are communicating privately? And the Federal Council was also not very advanced in the process, and we didn't really have that much ourselves. And then was the first leak from the council, and it was pretty clear to us that the states of the EU were not that were not in agreement with each other. And we had a legal assessment of the legal service, and they said that that chat control is not in line with basic EU law. And we had this very long first act, because EU laws are very complex, because the second act will be very exciting. So the first thing that happened, which we hoped that would happen in Germany, is that Austria actually said, we actually don't like chat control. So Austria was officially against chat control, and we were very happy about that. And it would have been great if the German federal government would have made the same statement, and then Ashton Kutcher stepped on the scene, and he was in the EU Parliament, and on Twitter there were delegates that showed selfies with Ashton Kutcher, because they made advertisement for chat control. And this is something that we as a movement, we don't like, that if we have an opponent that is as famous as Ashton Kutcher. And there are also other people who have spoken out in favor of this proposal. So she basically said, when I write a message on WhatsApp that's end-to-end encrypted, I send you a page on a newspaper. Once you have written only part of the message, a picture of the news article is shown, because they recognize that this is not malware. Therefore, there is already detection today in encrypted communication, but I don't know if they already do it today to recognize child abuse. So Uwe Johansson should really stop using WhatsApp. So the German politicians are actually not allowed to use WhatsApp. And after this situation, it was clear that on a political level, Chat control is hard to stop. There will not a majority, because even our closest allies, the socialists, which are on the bottom low row, they have voted against chat control one, but even they were not in favor of complete rejection of chat control. And the way I explained it to my colleagues is that the proposal of the EU Commission is very extreme. It is creating a divisive force between child protection agencies and human rights agencies. What we actually need is security by device, security by design. We need to have crawling of public data on the internet, and no child is helped by chat control the way the European Commission envisions it. That's what I, yeah. And the important part is that we have committees that are that have to write reports, and in the meantime, politicians in so the people in Germany are just waiting. And then there was another leak. And so negotiations happen. So we want to be accepting to client-side scanning, but this is not about installing technology on private user devices. So I don't know if you can remember the picture from the previous slides. So, you know, it's difficult on a technical level. And then there's also the coalition treaty in Germany. But the youth organizations of the parties in Germany also made a statement that they are all against chat control, and they actually joined our campaign alliance and also child protection agencies said that there's also a resource issue, that those child protection agencies don't have enough resources. And we are now in the third act. And now something about theater science. So the conflict reaches its climax. The dynamics change. The turning point creates a change that affects the destiny of the protagonists. Let's look at who the heroes are, or the protagonists are. But we also need hooligans. So soccer fans entered the scene. And the soccer fans were very eager to join us, and throughout the year there were protests, and they are part of the Civil Society Alliance, because who is typically a victim of massive surveillance? It's typically soccer fans. And also in Sweden, there was a campaign where nice banners were shown that were addressed to the politicians who were heading to Brussels, the newly elected politicians that were heading to Brussels.
And on the way to the Bundestags, the governmental meeting, a very cool guy with a black coat and a black glasses swooped by me on an electronic scooter, and it just, that was just the theme song of Men in Black missing. And after, somehow the technology doesn't want to go with me, and he stepped down from his e-scooter, and I said, are you nervous? And he was like, no, this is going to be boring. We are all on the same page. And yeah, and somehow we were all on the same page. But then, the consultation or the hearing is always a way of political consulting. And there is this today's parliament, but in the media, but also there is a lot of specific in the area of expertise politics who aren't really experts, and they will never be experts. So it's important to say those non-experts what we, the experts, think that they should, you know, understand about this thing, even if it is something fleeting and digital. There is these kinds of things. They would never do them in real life. And it's important to reach all kinds of people, all the people who would do it and all of the people who wouldn't. So the transmission topics in civil society are a big thing, and we all had a bit of a high and had hoped that we had won something with this meeting and this consultation, this hearing, and then this draft came towards us, and we already knew it would come from the Conservatives, so it wouldn't be very cool, but then, you know, it really wasn't. So Spain, we already had that. Brussels, we had a completely different discussions in Brussels than in Germany, where the campaigns already had supported, but it was a completely different discussion. So after this draft of position, which is, by the way, the result of a lot of counseling and hearing rounds, we had so many talks with so many experts, with critical cases of people being abused by it. And at this point, this draft just left all the problems alone. It didn't do anything about it. And everything of it, all the bad things are still in it. And there was this. It went even further. This voluntary chat control was expanded. And this, there is an additional method to the three that we already talked about, and the fourth method that was suggested was an additional metadata analysis. So he even wanted to look at the metadata and from this extrapolate the danger of child abuse, which is yet again even more experimental than what we already did. And it's even more invasive, or just as invasive as the other ideas. So actually, in 2023, he could actually, you know, anticipate that would work. And in the Try 10 for the Liberals, there were people sitting in there who usually vote for a middle-left majority. One of the people for children's rights, a woman, she was pro-chat control. And just her, she was just her, this person who wouldn't be good for the job, they chose her.
And the Lega Nord was very much in favor of the proposal, and for the right-wing extremists, they were also really in favor of it. Then my colleague from the Social Democrats was critical against this, against age verification. He said letting one's child on the internet is like letting them alone in a crowd of people. And we're at the Congress, so we all know this is completely worry free. But it looked rather dark. Where this happens, the catastrophe and Ashton Kutcher are not far, which takes us to the fourth act. The actions leading to a catastrophe are averted by a new dynamic. And we had this proposal from the IMPO Council, which immediately looked quite good, but what in the end came from it was kind of okay-ish, a little softer everything. Chat control was only supposed to be a last resort, and it was very soft. And we were immediately before the summer break. But she actually doesn't take a summer break, because you can work much better when everyone is in holidays. The Swedes changed their mind slowly, and the Spanish also came forward and said chat control is actually quite good.
And it just became worse, and there was a legal assessment that from the council that said that the chat control is not in line with fundamental rights, which was a bit surprising that they said it. And do you want to say something about legal assessments? So legal assessments, you notice how important it is to be active in advance. And especially when you have strong lobbyism forces, then there's a lot of articles and legal aspects that can be used as supporting factors, and our means from as data protection commissioners, we can also influence the legal process. What we also try to give as a central argument is that because there is no benefit, what you're trying to do will only be rejected by the courts in the end, and it will not be to the benefit of the children that you want to protect. So it's really so you will create a very bad law that only creates false solutions and after a while the courts will stop this law again. And it was really great that the council actually found that legal statement. And we want to continue. So we had this problem with Ashton Kutcher, and a solution to the conflict is found in the catastrophe, which is not exactly how it played out, but it's a modern drama we're in here. And what happened next was that journalists, and especially investigative journalists, have detected a network of donations that show the money that has flown to different organizations. You have seen this. The script has already been written, so they were pretty confident that till the end of this year, chat control, with the help of the Spaniards, and what we managed to change this is that, because we can learn something from this, because it doesn't happen so often that we win a battle like this. So first of all, we have changed the framing. So this solution that is causing separation between different parties, but we should have something that actually brings people together. So that means that the people who tried to negotiate were actually in favor of it, but it was also clear what the problem was with chat control. So the Germans and the Austrians and the Swedes were explaining their opposition to this law, and the thing that helped a lot was that suddenly there was this surveillance industry network that was actually operating from outside of the EU, that was trying to influence European politics. And it was revealed that secret services and surveillance industries basically presented themselves as child protection agencies, which, and they actually founded new child protection agencies, and that there's a Swiss foundation that is directed from a former United States Minister for Interior Affairs, and this all financed chat control, which then hired a lobbying organization. So it was revealed that the European Commission has worked very closely with those forces in those organizations. And this was something that had a very, this had political influence. And the chat control was really the elephant in the room. And it was clear, the statement was that chat control should be without prior suspicion, but with the scandal, the whole narrative changed. And it was also that, like a wish list that the chat control law had, that Europol also stated, as it was later revealed, that they also want to use chat control for other things than just protecting children. And it was really nice to see that this was actually true, that this is not, and Ilva Johansson has said that this is only a conspiracy against her, and this is totally not how things are. And the thing that happens next, the topic that the European Commission has used micro-targeting to promote chat control. And the European
So this is schizophrenic. The European Commission does recognize the problems of micro-targeting and wants to do something against it. Pretty extensional. I want to go, further, but even so. But then they want to use it themselves, using the taxes to influence, and that is at the very least politically very controversial. And this is to be checked, whether there can be legally done, whether there can be done something legally against this. We are now pretty much at the end of our story. And what happened is, or what will happen next, there was a historical event that happened. All the fractions were pretty on the same page, and there was a report being voted for. Patrick did mention this earlier. This Liebe report that came was much better than we thought what would come when we started this fight. And of course it wasn't perfect, but that's never the case. And there we could actually get some stuff done. We could reach some points. So this press conference that we just saw was, to our surprise, suddenly a suggestion of the reporter themselves, who basically gave in and said, yes, chat control is not supposed to be there. We just want to go against people and groups of people, basically scan them just first with a court order, and secondly when they are connected with materials on child abuse. And that means that there is a targeted investigation against people who are already in doubt by the law, and not just a general chat control. And we could also gain as a point that end-to-end encrypted services are actually exempted from this action, so that there cannot be any microphones being placed in devices. We could make sure that there is no age verification, and there is no digital house arrest. because the parliament doesn't want it to accept it like this. And in the press conference of the conservative guys, who was working with Johansson, with this supposedly child-protecting organizations, stood there and said, mass surveillance is a red line, politically, not only for us, but also for the by EU right, because it goes against our human fundamental rights. So it's sensational that we actually reached this. Thank you. Yeah. But I want to say one thing. The international organizations and conglomerations, the people who actually do child protection in everyday life, in Germany, with these organizations, we have completely different conversations. These people are pro a measured version of all of this. And they helped going against all of these suggestions. So I said, this is not perfect, but of course what we do have is, and that is of course very controversial and very problematic, a mandatory age verification for porn platforms. The allowances for the EU senders are not clear at all, and they're very, very close to Europol still. And Europol still gets material that is suggested to them to train their algorithms, and it's still not great. And it went on in the council, and the politicians made this beautiful map here. And red is against it. Red is for it. Green is against it. And
red against. Okay, green.
Green is against it. And what we ended up with is something that we already talked about earlier, what we think about this, which is, was chat control 1.0 extended? Yes, it was extended until 23, and that's not in our interest.
And the council knows that we have tried, we had our speech where we said, okay, it's better to not digitalize instead of do it badly. And in the meantime, there is a report on which Ylva is very proud, but it's not really telling us much. And it was something that was a long time, very much delayed until this report finally was published, and this report could not show how meaningful it is, how effective it is to prevent child abuse with Chat Control 1. And so Chat Control 1 means that it's not over yet. So who knows what in a few years is. So we have shown you a couple of characters. And you've gotten to know them, they know us, we can talk to them, but this will all be put together afresh because there will be the elections, and that means, we might not have the same coalitions, and therefore our call to you, please keep this topic in your minds. Chat control will probably become the new data retention. It's like a zombie that never dies. And I assume that it will be the topic that I also have to deal with for a very long time. Please don't forget about this topic and make sure it is a topic during upcoming elections. And ask your politicians about the topic. We have created a call tool, I have been informed. So maybe you can use this tool to contact your politicians. And Patrick has also made a last move before he leaves. So he actually got a response. And we have noticed that some Europol members have moved to some organizations. So for this lobby scandal, we wanted to highlight that this is a democratic scandal, and this micro-targeting is targeting those countries in the Council that are against chat control. And the Commission has tried to run an emotional campaign to influence the political process, and I have complained about this officially. I have filed a official complaint, and this will be checked by the official agencies. And the Bürgerbeauftragte has written back to me that we will file a complaint against Europol, because there are those people who have changed from Europol to Fawn, and they are now lobbyists trying to influence EU politics. And they basically presenting the cool new technology by Fawn to the EU. And we basically want to know how that actually was approved, and with which reason or justification. So, chat control is not over, and it's a drama, and we don't want this to become a tragedy. So, some people might have thought, okay, this is going to be easy because it's child protection, so let's all together that we will win this battle against chat control, and that no one in the European Parliament should be not. So the question with whether or not a politician should protect end-to-end encryption, this is something that every member of the European Parliament must answer to. So I think we can't really finish this talk without standing ovations. And not only for the people who are on stage, but also everyone who worked on this issue. Standing ovations. And you have heard, so this is going to continue. There are a lot of organizations that need support to continue fighting against this. And that also means that you can yourself become active, or you can make donations, for example, to netzpolitik.org, who have digged up quite some interesting stories. And do we have time for one more question? Okay, one question. So, voluntary questions at the microphones. Does the Signal Angel have a question for us? Micro 2. Microphone 2. Thank you for this talk and your very important work. There's millions of people that are benefiting from this, even though only a few 10,000 are knowing about it. My question is, you have shown the path of the money. This was about 25 million. Is it possible to say something about who has within the European Union has received that money. Answer, there is a very comprehensive analysis by Balkan Insights on this that can be found online, and I would like to point to that research. And thereby I would like to say thank you very much for this wonderful talk and for your work. And another round of applause.